we began last week, on page 3 of the pamphlet that you have, we started a maimer from Rav Motl Zilbera, and tonight we're going to get into the pnimius of the maimer, which, as I mentioned last week, is focusing on a new approach to working on ourselves and growing, which is rooted in the Derech HaBaal Shem Tov. We were talking last week, we began with a remarkable piece from the diary of the Rebbe from Piasetzna, turning 40 and expressing his desire to convert, to become a Jew. And we're going to try to understand what that means for each and every one of us to undergo such a transformation, to become a Jew. We're Jewish by birth, and we, Baruch Hashem, we're observant of Torah mitzvahs, what it means to be a Jew. And we know that the ikar dveikus that a person can have with the Kadosh Baruch Hu comes from Mahu Afata, just as Hashem is, so are we. And the more that we resemble a Kadosh Baruch Hu, kivyochel, obviously Hashem is Hashem, but in our actions, that we resemble Hashem insofar as we try to live according to the midas of Hashem, so that's how we achieve the Vekas, as the Ramchal and all the Tzaddikim explain. That is the way of becoming attached to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Mahu, just as he is compassionate, so we should be compassionate, and so on. So we're going to begin now to understand, to learn this Mahalach of changing, of becoming Be'emes, becoming Jews, who live in a way of Dveikus B'Hashem. So on page 3, where it says, Avaydas Hamidas Baifanale Umurumam. Kisha'oiskim Ba'avaydas Hamidas, which all of us have been doing all of our lives, when we are trying to learn and to apply the Avayda of Midas, Yecholim Lavid Al Midas B'derech Seichel U'B'derech Pashit. The way that we've learned, for the most part, over the course of our lives, is to work on our midas with seichel, ubederach pashit, in a simple way, using our seichel. V'chaylum la'avid al midas b'ayfen achel agamrei. But there's another, a completely different way of working on midas that we're going to be working on this summer. B'ayfen eloki umrumam yoyser. In a way that is Eloki, that is godly, and that is Merumam Yaisa, that is more exalted and higher and greater than using simple Seichel. Well, there's nothing wrong with Seichel, as we'll see. And that certainly we can't, Chalila, abandon our Seichel in this Avaida. Now, what does it mean? What does it mean to work on this Avaida of Midas Seichel, Bederach Pashit? And what is the way of Tikkun Amidas and Avaydas Amidas in a way which is Merumam Eloki Umerumam? Unevar Advar Medarach Moshel HaShayach Lini Avaydas Amidas. So let's begin with a Moshel. Lini Avaydas Amidas, Shehin Amishel Lokui B'Midas Akina. So he begins with a Midah that we've been talking about the past few years, the Midah of Kina, of envy, of jealousy. So a person who is loqui, a person who is in this inyan of kinna, has difficulties. He's loqui, loqui means missing. There's something missing in terms of this inyan of kinna, of jealousy. So he can work on this problem of kinna in a way of seichel poshet. What is that? When using the simple approach, and the simple approach, it can be very, very deep and very beautiful with all kinds of chazals and all kinds of svarim. But the underlying yisod is seichel pashit. When using that way of seichel pashit, the person has not, in doing so, in using seichel pashit, the person has not uprooted the Midah altogether. I was talking about this a little bit on Shabbos, that we're able to make changes and adjustments in our midas, but to uproot a mida altogether, to be able to be oiker jealousy from our lives. There are some people who they don't have an atiyah, they're not by nature jealous, they don't have that problem. But whatever that inyan is that the person knows in his or her life needs improvement. We can work on things for 20, 30, 40 years, but we haven't been successful in being oiker the mida, in uprooting, in removing it from our lives. It's still there. We're able to beat it down and to try to control it and to tame it. But the etzem hamida that I've had since I'm in the world, I have not been able to be oiker. I haven't been able to uproot it from my life. And because the person is honest and knows himself that he has a problem with this mida of kina, or he has whatever mida that is that's a problem in his life, so yuchach lahamshich al atzmai is a regish adinus, Hanovea, page 4, mikoach haneshama. Aval adayin yuchal b'sichloi haposhut la'asei cheshbon ayidei hanhogis v'tachbulos shaynos. Shaydei zeh yuchal la'avoid al midas hakina. The person is honest and he acknowledges that he has this problem. So there's a certain type of an avoid that we're going to learn in Mitzvah over these weeks, where the person can try, can learn how to completely uproot that midah. But even if he hasn't succeeded in doing that, or he doesn't know what it's about, he certainly is able to use his seichel, and the seichel that is revealed in the svarim that we learn over the years, and all the shiurim that we hear, and he's able to sichlei haposhet, la'aseis cheshbon, ayidei hanhogis v'tachbula shanais, to make a cheshbon and to use different strategies, with which he can work on this midah of kina. Even though the person has worked on the midah of kina, we're going to see some simple suggestions or ideas that we've learned over the years. Even though the person has worked on the midah of kina, but yet the person be'etzim remains a chaymi, somebody who's very bound to physical things. He's a chitzoniistic person, not a pneumistic person. As long as a person is beteva, drawn to the external, drawn primarily to the physical, he's not able to refine himself to such a degree to remove, to uproot any bad midah. Rak misha ne'epach li'es ish neshama. When the Piyazesna spoke about becoming a Jew, about converting and becoming a Jew, it means, how do I change myself from being an ish haguf, someone who lives completely immersed and obsessed with physical things, with physical reality, to convert and to become an ish neshama, a person who, although of course, lives in this world and enjoys this world, but lives in the world and enjoys the world as an ish neshama, as a person of neshama. An ish neshama mezukach lagamri midas hakina, we're going to learn, is not troubled by jealousy. He's not running away his entire life from jealousy, from envy. Ki kina ain't a klal midah shel haneshama, for the simple reason. Kina, envy, jealousy, is not a midah of the neshama, it's a midah of the guf. We'll see why in a moment. It's not a midah of the neshama. So if a person is an ish neshama, he doesn't have to deal with jealousy. It's not part of his life. V'chol ha'esek shel kina, the entire esek, preoccupation that we have with kina, ainu matim l'neshama. It doesn't become the neshama. It's something which the neshama is very far from. Ki mida chamus, because kina is a mida of this physical world. And he explains, what does this mean? Sharei shayrish midas akinah. What's the root of jealousy? Sharei shayrish midas akinah hum yizeh shabah olam hagufim kol davar tofes makom. In the olam hagufim, in the physical world, everything takes up space. Everything takes up space. The kevan shekein, and because of that, im la'odam ployni yeis davar mesuyim, there's this feeling that if that person has something, harizet tofes makom, that means that that person has something that could theoretically or potentially be in my rishus. It could be mine. Ukeilu daichik aysay shelo lo yiyad davar mesuyim zeh. It's keilu that person is pushing me away. Is pushing me away, like you're standing online, and there are a certain amount of seats in a certain place that you want to be, and the person, you make a cheshbon that there are 50 seats left, and you're the 51st person in line. You have an uncomfortable feeling about the person ahead of you, because you see the person ahead of you as being toifes amokum, as taking up a place that you were hoping to have. It's a simple cheshbon. All of life is defined by time, by space, by physical space. That's how we experience this world. Utchuna zayz geremes shemurgish l'odam b'chol eis ki'ilu chaveira nichnas b'soich gvulo. And because of this, we live with the constant feeling that there's somebody that's taking up my space. There's somebody, I was supposed to have that child, that perfect child that has A+ and is the best kid in the whole neighborhood. I was supposed to have that child, and he took that kid. Even though it's bizarre. But Lamaisa, I could have had such a child. There are only a certain amount of children that are sent into the world in every generation that are like that. And he took that child from me. That could have been my child. If he wouldn't be here, there would be a stronger statistical probability that I would have that child. And if that's with a child, even though no one thinks such strange thoughts in a way like that, but there is this sense of somebody having taken something that could be mine. When it comes to a house, when it comes even to the inyanim of a marriage, it's ki'ilu, somebody is entering into my airspace. The sargvul of lokecha shelo, and is taking something that's mine. Memele mizen noile midas akina. That is the root of the midah of kina. But Korach felt that the kahuna could have been his, and instead there's this other relative of his, Aaron HaKohen, and Aaron took his kahuna. And you could tell Korach, but Reb Korach, there are so many good things you have. There's so many wonderful things. You've been blessed. You're a tzaddik, you're a kaddish, you're a genius, you're respected. You have a beautiful family. What are you missing? I'm missing the kahuna. Aaron took the kahuna. This is the root of the midah of kinna, of jealousy. A person feels betava that there's a certain limit to what can be in the world, and I would like to have that, and that person took it. If I'm not interested in that particular Indian, I'm not jealous. I'm not jealous if somebody owns a cat, I could have had that cat, because I don't care about having a cat. But if I would Luya Tsuya, I would want to have the most chosh of a cat, and that person had a beautiful cat, then that cat came down from Shemaim. It could have come into my Dal Ramos. It could have come to my house, into my life, and instead it came into Yanis, it came into his life. All of that is in the world of the guf. Why? Because the world of the body, the physical world, is finite and limited. So there are only 50 people there are only 50 chairs left in the auditorium. You're number 51 in line. Maybe the person ahead of you will pass out. Maybe he'll get a phone call and he'll be called out and you'll have some mazel and that final seat will be your seat. Otherwise, if he sits down, he was toifes your place. Because physical life, and as physical human beings, that's what we experience, it's limited, it's finite, and therefore if there's something that I want and somebody else has it, it's on my chesed. It's a simple equation. It's as simple as that. So when a person is an ish haguf, when a person is an ish hagesha of this world, so everything is divided up, there's a certain pie, and you get your piece of the pie. And you're always looking to see, what is bayanim? What does the other one have? He has a better piece of the pie. He has my piece of the pie. But if a person is an ish neshama, if a person lives in the place of pnimius, of the neshama, this is the biggest nisayon of our generation. If a person lives in the olam haneshamas, in this world, but in as an ish neshama, ein klal chayk kezeh. There's no rule of space. There's no pie that's being divided up into pieces. The olam haneshamas is a world that's ein sof, that's infinite. Ein klal chayk kezeh. That because that person has a certain advantage or a certain maila, it's on my chesed. That there's only a certain supply. And that individual or his family cornered the market on that inyan. And therefore it's on my chesed. In the Olam HaNeshamas there's no such thing. I remember once, many years ago, so I was davening, we lived in Farakwa, and I was davening in Yeshiva Farakwa, and the Rosh Yeshiva, Per Zolgazon Zayn, said that it happened some time earlier that he was visiting Eretz Yisrael, and it was his last day, in Eretz Yisrael. He was leaving that night, and there was a poor person who saw somebody. Rabbi Per had been giving some people money, and they saw, oh, this looks like it's an American, he's giving out with the Rachavus, he's giving out money. And this poor person ran after Rabbi Per, and he said he came to me and he started to cry that I have Nebuch, a brother, and he starts to cry about his brother, that his brother is not well, and the child is not well, and they have no parnasa. He tells over a whole story. And Rabbi Per said that he reached into his pocket, and he had a certain amount of shkolim. He figured he was leaving in an hour or two. What's he going to do with these, with the shkolim? And he figured, okay. So he took out whatever shkolim he had in his pocket. He looked at the shkolim he had. And besimcha, he gave it to this yid to give to his brother. And the guy gave him a big bracha, and he thanked him. It was a nice amount. It was all the shkolim that he had left. It was a nice amount. Rabbi Pierce says he walks another 30 seconds, and the guy comes running after him. Rabbi, please have rachmanis, So Rabbi Pierce said, what do you mean? I just gave you everything that I have. So the yid said, no, but that was for my brother. I also have tzaras. We've met Mishalachim with this. So he said, I have my own tzaras. So Rabbi Pierre said, I'm so sorry. Those are my last pennies, my last prutas. You with your brother, you know, work out whatever you can with your brother. That's all I have. And then Sarah Per was saying this, and he said that afterwards he was thinking, as he walked away, and he told the fellow, divide between you and your brother, he's thinking, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Ein Sof. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has so much. He has without end. He has for everybody. Our whole musag of like divided up between you and your brother is a musag of this world. And Rabbi Per was encouraging us before Ne'ilah to daven for everything. In Ruchnius and in Gashmius, and for ourselves and for others, to understand that the Borei Olam has everything and can give everything. Our whole way of thinking is pathetic, because we think as Anshei Haguf, not Anshei Neshama. An Ish Neshama lives in a different world. Borei Olam and Neshama is Ein Klal Chayk Kezeh Shu Ma'alos Shu Plani Yachse Eze Dover Mima'alos Odom Ha'achah. A person who lives with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who lives in Pnimius, who lives in the world of Neshamas. So he lives in a dimension, in a different dimension. It's Ein Sof. It's without end. And Hashem Yisboch said, you're not going to have this now. It's not because he's getting it instead. It's because it's not for me. Period. Not because he took it for me. Not because there were only 10 pieces of chicken. And like when they brought out the plate in the yeshiva and we were sitting there, you know, who's going to get the last french fry? Who's going to get the last piece of chicken? And there was never enough to go around. Not because he's getting my piece of chicken. If there's something in this world that I don't get, it's because Hashem didn't give it to me. Period. Not because he has mine. That whole musag, that whole concept, is a concept of the olam hagashmi, of the physical world, where there are a certain amount of seats in the auditorium, there's a certain amount of chicken that the lady made for Shabbos, and you're not going to get a piece if that guy took you a piece. That whole musag is in this world. But in the olam of the neshama, in the world of the neshama, which is the world of truth, not just after 120, right now. Shehu olam shel ein sof. Yicholim shnei dvarim liyesh b'mokem echad. What he has doesn't take from me. I could also have. It's not on my cheshbon. It's not a world that's divided by places, by spaces. It's an ein sof. It's a world without end. The world of the neshama. And the fact that somebody else is honored doesn't take from my covet. Doesn't take from my covet. If somebody else has something, it's not taking from me. In the olam hagashmi, in the physical world, it looks to me that way. Especially when it happens in a small setting, a shul, a school, a family. What you have between a brother and another and a sister, a brother and a brother, a brother-in-law, a sister-in-law, two sisters-in-law. I've had conversations with people that can't live with the fact that the sister-in-law has 6 children and I have 5 children. Not once that I've had conversations like this, many times. That I can't have more children. The doctor said I shouldn't have more children. And my sister-in-law is ahead of me. Like it's America and Russia, you know, in outer space or something. But the Rashanta had a 6th child. She would never say it in such a way. Almost, but never exactly like that. And I've been left behind. The kin is usually not going to be for some, it's much less likely that the kin is going to be for some stranger. Because the feeling is less that it's on my cheshbon. Because what do I have a shaykhus to some Jew that lives in London? Isn't that? You have 12 children, you have 15 children, and you give all kinds of brachas. Oh, wow, that's beautiful, it's so beautiful. But if your sister or your sister-in-law, because there the feeling is that since we're so magushim, and we look at everything like the pie and the piece of the pie, I don't have that. That's another pie in London. What do I have a shaykhus to that pie in London? But this is my pie. That's my sister, that's my sister-in-law. That's my pie. If somebody made some kind of somebody fixed something up in the house on your block, it doesn't bother you if somebody lives in Melbourne and they fixed up something in Australia in their house, they made an extension, you could extend your house from Melbourne till Sydney, it doesn't bother me. But on my block, that person put in a den, and I've always wanted to have that little extra space, not for myself, for the children when they come for Shabbos. That's on my cheshbon. Because on my block, there are only a certain amount of spaces on my block. In my world, there are only a certain amount of extensions that are available in my world. And the feeling is that that's a piece of my pie. The fact that we're very generous with others that are farther away or not part of our families is the same reason why we're able to be very patient with other people's children. What do I have a shaychus to that? It's not a my cheshbon, and it's not my cheshbon. Therefore, I could be a big balmidas. I don't have to be jealous of somebody who has something, A, that I'm not interested, or B, even if I would theoretically be interested, but it's so far from me, it's not part of my world. The same way that it's not going to be that somebody in the secular world, in the world outside of our world, that someone's going to sit there seething, looking at the television, thinking, I can't believe that guy, that Lo Yitzloch, that he married that beautiful girl, or that he's dating this actress. Because that's not a my cheshbon. Because what do I have with that, without Hollywood star? She would never look at me. So he's not, but if somebody, if the girl on the block that he's interested in, you'll excuse me for using such examples, but it's very simple to understand. But if the girl on the block, and the girl that I like, and that this guy that's no better than me, he took that girl, that's how my chesh. That's the sherish of kinna. It all comes from that way of looking at things, from that perspective that is very, very shallow, from a place that's very small. The whole business of kinna doesn't exist in the world of the neshama, only in the world of the guf, that has places and spaces and pieces. That's it. Oyd yesh l'harchiv b'inyin zeh. D'hine kishodam oyved al midas akinah. Okay, so this is a problem. This is the world that we live in, and we're anshei haguf, we're people of the guf. So we try to, but we want to be good. We want to give nachas ruach to Hashem. So we want to be able to fight with the jealousy. So all of our lives we've heard shiurim and we've read things about how to fight using seichel, using different strategy. Sometimes it's better, it's a bigger chiddush of a strategy, to use different ways of trying to deal with the mida of jealousy. We're using this as an example. We'll talk about other midas afterwards. Hayesh b'ze oifen pashut shel avayda, ech she yisalek is midas akinah mekirbay. So we have many approaches. All of them are seichel based, using seichel, to try to overcome this mida of kinah. So for instance, the most basic strategy is every one of us heard at some point in a shir, at some time, we heard this gemara that says, you should know that something that belongs to somebody else, you can't, even like a hair's breadth, if it's his, it's his. In other words, it's not meant for you. It's not meant for you. If he has it, it's not yours. So there's no point in Shaul HaMelech being jealous of David HaMelech. Ein malchus nagaz b'chavet tekim lo'inima. One malchus doesn't go into another malchus. That's his malchus, you have your malchus. So from the time that we've been in the world, we've heard, even as children, parents tell the children, what are you looking? That's not yours. Why are you always looking at what he has? Stop looking at what he has. That's his. Like the Gemara says, that one malchus doesn't touch another malchus. It's not on the cheshbon of your malchus, even a hair's breadth. That's that malchus, this is your malchus. That's Yankel's toy, and this is your toy. Stop looking at Yankel's toy. So we hear this, and we believe this, and we think about it, and we try to chaz it over, over and over and over. That I'm not taking, ein echad, sha'af echad ein lokech mu'uma mishal chaver, if Hashem does not want me to have that, I'm not going to have it. The same way I told my child, I'm telling my child, you're not going to have that toy belongs to that person. Or you're passing by the store, and you look in the window, and you're chalishing for that toy. Stop chalishing, for it's not yours. And Hashem gives each person exactly what is his. And Hashem knows what's best for you. And he knows exactly what you should be having and what you shouldn't be having. So all of the shmuzin that we've heard on Kenna revolve around this gemara, around this yesod of understanding with seichel poshet, that there's no tachlis, it's silly. It's silly to think about what somebody else has, because that's his. And Hashem gave it to him, didn't give it to me. Vim Kain, my lo lakane b'meshiyesh l'plaini. Why should I be jealous of what he has? It's true in this world. Some people have and some people don't. That's how the world is. There are the haves and the have-nots, and that's how the world has always been. But a kosher b'ochel noisin apply me masha tov yoyse ba'avuro. So you mechazik yourself and you say, I guess Hashem's Baruch didn't want me to have this kind of a house, didn't want me to have that type of a child, didn't want me to marry that way, didn't want me to have this physical appearance, whatever it is. V'noisin masha tov b'shvilai. Hashem has given me exactly what I need. Fine. That's an neshama dike machshava, and we try to think of that over and over. V'yikabel as atzorach lo lefisharish nafshay, and each person receives exactly what he needs according to the shirish, the root of his soul. Mashatay b'shvilo. If this person received that, that's what he needs for his tikkun. If you receive that, that's what you need for your tikkun. That's your matzav, the family that you were brought down to be with. You were brought down from Shemaim to be with this family, to be in this guf. How come I look like this? I wish I had blonde hair. How come I have brown hair? I wish I had brown hair. Come I have blonde? All of these things, that's the sherish of that person. That he receives what he needs to reach his tikkun. Ve'ilay malakane b'chaveru. Therefore, There's no reason for me to be jealous of anybody else. So people always say, it wouldn't even be good for me. If I had what that person who has, it would be very bad for me. That's when you're getting more desperate, usually you start to talk that way. If I would have that, it would be very, very bad for me. I don't want to have that huge house, those wonderful children, all of that money, all those trips to Israel, that beautiful face, that beautiful figure. I don't want all of that. I would be very, very, I'd be in very big trouble if I had all of that. I'm very grateful for not having any of that. And you say that over and over and over again. I'm so grateful for not having. That person probably is also suffering from all of that. I don't want any of that. What do I want from what he has, what she has? I don't want that. And what I have wouldn't be good for him. It's a seichel poshut. It's a simple seichel. Another simple chesed. Nitin lizbainin, we can take a look and think about. Shekol advarim shebnei adam is kana behem. All the things that people are jealous about. If you think deeply, if you're misboining, if you think deeply, there's no reason to be jealous. Now, what do you mean? There's nothing to be envious of? So he says, if you look at it truthfully, yeah, when it comes to tzaddikim, there's such a thing that's called kinas seifrim. Kinas seifrim means that when a tzaddik sees that another tzaddik has been matzliach in a certain inyan in avodas Hashem, in a madrega in avodas Hashem, there is such a thing as a healthy and holy wish or desire not to take it from that tzaddik that he shouldn't have and I should have. But I should also have such a midah, and that inspires me and encourages me and gives me new kaiches to strive to attain that midah. Not to take it, but to be such a person. That's kinas seifrim, that's a madrega of tzaddikim. So if there is something to be envious of in a holy way, it's when it comes to avodas Hashem. But even that is not to make, God forbid, a person depressed or angry or upset, or to start to have negative feelings towards that other person. Chas v'shalom. Adarabah. The sign that it's true kinas seifrim is that you love that tzaddik. You admire that person for her davening, for his learning. You don't want that person not to have that learning and davening. You're thrilled that the Jewish people have such individuals. For yourself, you want to become more of that kind of a person. Not to take it from him. You want Hashem to have nachas from that person. You love that person. You look at that person with an ayin taiva all the time. You just wish that you could be more like that person. And that is something which can move you to try harder. That's something else. Everything in this world can be used in Kedusha and Tahara. That's how Hashem Yisbaruch made the world. So there is a kinna that's holy also. There is a type of holy envy, jealousy. That's called kinas soifen. B'chadoim. Aval etzarayv b'nei adam. But let's be honest. Etzarayv b'nei adam by most people, hari advarim shehim mekaneh b'hem, the things that they're jealous of, einim advarim sheyesh ma lekaneh b'hem b'chlal. It's not anything that you should b'chlal, that anybody should even be jealous of. L'moshel, for instance. Kishyesh eizo osher shemekabel harbe kovet. Let's say there's a wealthy person who, because of his wealth, he is shown tremendous honor. He's shown great honor. He can get into any Yosh Hashiv, he can get into any tzaddik. He is respected. People shown tremendous kovet. Kishyesh eizo osher shemekabel harbe kovet. Ein tzrichim lagil lesbeinu nesanal. She'ein tzarech lekanibay. Now, Ramatel says you don't even have to begin to use the first strategy of that probably wouldn't be good for me. Why should I be jealous of that person? Ramatel says, why? I don't have to even come to that cheshbon of, you know, that's his, it's not for me. You don't have to even come to that. He says, you just have to have a simple hezbonimus. Think very simply about kovod. He says, kovod hu be'etzem dovish en eshavim ha'um v'en ha'klum. Kovod altogether, honor, kovod, is worthless. Kovod is worthless. U'mayesh l'kani b'zeh. What's there to be jealous of? That somebody else's name was mentioned. What's there to be jealous of? Hey, kol inina kovod b'olam hazeh hu dovish l'schoik v'gichuch. The whole inyan of covet in this world, he says, is a joke. It's a joke. It's a mockery. Uksha Kadosh Baruch Hu writes l'nasas adam, and it's only used by Hashem to test a person. Who nice and like covet, when Hashem tests a person, he finds some way that they should give covet to that person. Ach be'emes mahu erko shel covet b'olam hazeh. What value does covet have? You could say there's value to having a certain amount of money, because then you could buy nice things, you could help other people. But covet, what's covet? What's it worth? He's going to mention in a moment, right now he's going to mention that sometimes covet can be used in a positive way, but not that you take it seriously. Not that you take it seriously. But you can use the fact that somebody's mechabed you in order to help that person. Let's say if a young person looks up to you, and honors you. Not that you care about that honor, but because of that relationship, that individual, the young person, honors you, you can use that to help that child, but to help that person. Not that you take that seriously, that's narishkai. Hein omnam yisai, shalofam tzrichim mishtamish bo. Sometimes you can use covet. Lahaitzi mizze'ezet tarelas taiva. Somebody's mechabed, the person's mechabed the Rosh Yeshiva can call them up and ask them for to help, to give a contribution, to help with some tzedakah. Because the Rosh Yeshiva knows that person is mechabed him. He doesn't care about the covet. But the covet can have practical benefit for other Jews, and even for that person, to be mezakim, that he should give tzedakah. So there can be a to'elas toiva. There can be practical benefit that comes from one being honored. Kegoin sha'yidei shiyei ish mechubad, Yuchal liyos loy hashpa toiv al chaveru. If you're respected by people, you can be a bal hashpa. You can be mashpi on people. If people look up to you, then you shouldn't waste that covet. Not that you care about the fact that they stand up and you walk in the room. That's silly. But how can I use that feeling of covet that these people have for me? I can use them to make their lives better. I can help them. Because I'm in a position to be a mashpia. I'm in a position to be mashpia. The worst thing is when you have a parent that's demanding covet from a child. How come you don't respect me? You have to, the Torah says you should respect me. If you haven't earned that covet, you can't use it. It's worthless. Then all it is narishkeit. It's stam havel havalim. For you to feel good. So your child has to mechabed you. Your child, God forbid, the child doesn't respect you, can't stand you, but you insist that he stands up when you walk into the room. For what? I'm not talking about the halach is. What do you need that for? If we need our children to respect us, not because of being respected, but because that respect creates a relationship of Naisein Makabel, a mashpia and a mushpa. I could be mashpia on my child. And if I behave a certain honorable way, my child will want to live an honorable life. Zahu. Not because I care about my kids standing up for me. What is that? What is that? What's that worth that somebody stands up for you? There are a lot of fringe benefits, side benefits that you can gain by being honored, but not that you should care about honor. Honor is narishkeit. It's silly. It's no different than using some sort of garbage or filth or bacteria. You know, there are certain bacteria. I don't know anything about the medicine, but just when we were children, I remember that they can use that bacteria in order to make some medicine, right? Penicillin, isn't there something like that? Mold, right? So mold is usually an icky thing, right? But they found that you can use this yucky thing to save people's lives. Penicillin was a gewaldig hamtsa. Penicillin was a big hamtsa. So what's COVID? COVID is a yucky thing. COVID is garbage. It's mamish garbage. Penicillin means that the mold can be used to save someone's life. So if that person is mechabed me, the only tachlis is, can I use this feeling that he has of COVID to save his life? Or to improve his life? That's all. But the actual mold? Who in his right mind would say, what a choshev thing, the garbage is. It's a choshev thing. No, you could use it for fertilizer. The lowest thing that comes from a behemoth, they use it for fertilizer. So therefore, whatever should be kareh mishtachmet to the, you understand, to the shmutz. So people are kareh mishtachmet to the shmutz. No. The schmutz is only insofar as it can be used to fertilize the field, and then it can help people eat and to have what panasa, then the fertilizer is good. If not, what is it? It's schmutz. That's what it is. I will add some inyan akavit by lemazah. You don't have to even come on to this whole way of thinking it. It's his covet, it's not mine. Just covet bechlal. What's there to be jealous of? Hari enoklum. It's nothing. Vein malakanibizah. What's the Indian of COVID? Even though, as we're saying this, each and every of us knows that world wars have been fought because of COVID. As we speak, families, lives are being destroyed because of this Indian of COVID. Yeshivas, shuls, are being destroyed because of COVID. All the time. It's the biggest milchama. The biggest milchama, this inyan of COVID. V'amisavol COVID is a min taiva gashmis. What's the taiva for COVID? It's a gashmistic taiva. It's a very low physical taiva. We don't usually think of it as a low thing because people think of taiva as like desires for disgusting things. COVID is not that. To be honored or to have your name heard or to be respected, that sounds like it's a very choshev thing. The emes is, it's just a taiva gashmis. It's a low taiva. It's low like any of the other taivas of the world. So you have a person that he fresses on food, and this one fresses for a compliment. He's a compliment fresser. COVID is a COVID fresser. I don't have to tell you, you probably know, and you've heard stories, women are usually far from this inyan, but how men can carry on in shuls with aliyahs, and with kibudim, and the amud, and I'm not even going to talk about it, what goes on. It's a pachad. And by the most choshev of people, by the finest people, what goes on with the aliyah, with the Yom Kippur, with the COVID, with the kibbutz, it's because always gives them that my father is the outside, my zayd is the outside. It's a taiva from the lowest taivas, like any physical taiva. It's a physical taiva, period. Yechoyim l'tarzas kili yesh eza eva v'gid b'soich ha'odim shenenem b'soir l'fal taiv. You can look at it in a physical way. There's some funny thing inside of me. There's some part of my body that, if they're mechabed me, that makes me enjoy and feel good. I feel good. And if they would do an operation on me, they would take out that COVID gene, then I wouldn't need COVID anymore. That's how plain it is. It's a physical thing. But because they haven't operated on me, and there's no surgery like that to take away this need for COVID, how you're dying, I have COVID. They don't have operations to make a person not want to eat. You never heard of such a thing? There are people who are doing all kinds of dangerous things with their bodies because they're not able to control the taiva of achila for whatever reason, psychologically, the chemically, whatever. But they can't control the taiva to eat, and they have their bodies stapled or their medicines or their surgery. That's dangerous stuff that goes on. Why? To take away, I can't control my taiva, so you ask the doctor to do something to remove the taiva. So it's a physical need, and COVID is also a physical need, except they don't know how to staple the stomach to get rid of COVID. A person has a big taiva to eat food that's burnt or cooked. Then the people that like sweet foods, a chamutz and a sour. So you have people that like COVID, the next page, that they like COVID. They just enjoy COVID. We should know. COVID is a taiva like other taivas. It's a taiva like other taivas. That particular taiva for COVID, we know from Chazal and from the Strong, that usually gets stronger as a person ages. The other taivas, the more unsophisticated, plain, physical taivas, are usually stronger when you're younger. The taiva for COVID, that as the other physical taivas wane, the taiva for COVID becomes the primary, strongest taiva for COVID. You were overlooked at a simcha. You walk into a simcha, and they didn't prepare you the card. Or even worse, they prepared your card, it says table 6, you come to the table, and it's all taken. And you stand in the middle of the ballroom, and you look around, and you're waiting, where's the Bali Simcha? How could they even think of the Chasan and Kala, the parents, if they know that I am not seated? How could they even think of the Chasan and Kala? You stand in, they did an Avla, there are 12 seats at the table, and they made me number 13. I don't have a seat. There is such an Avla. And you have to right away, everybody has to know, the maitre d', the waiter, the Chasan family, the Kala's family, this one, the aunts, the uncles, all the friends have to know that you weren't seated. Not that you shouldn't get a seat. Why shouldn't you sit down? You're also hungry. But where to sit? Where to sit? Who do they think I am? How could they put me in such a place with such people? How could they not think of me? How could they not put me in the place where I belong with the close friends? They put me with the Vaita friends, not with the close friends. How could they put me in such a place? This covet is also by women, not just by men. Men have a big union with COVID, but this union is by women also. And otherwise, helping with certain things, and I also helped, but I wasn't appreciated or recognized. But they won't say COVID, they'll say appreciated. It's more feminine. I'm not appreciated. Say for what it is, you weren't recognized. No. I don't care about COVID. I care about appreciation. I worked very hard. I should be appreciated. Sounds nicer, no? Guys don't talk like that. They just say, you're a Russia, you forgot me. Women say, no, I really, it's beautiful, what you did is beautiful. It's just I felt that taking into account how much I love you and how much I care for you, I would have expected a little bit more appreciation. Does that sound nicer? I would have expected a little bit more appreciation. That's all. Just a drop of appreciation. It's a very thin line. But it's in the world of COVID. But what is it? Ein bezaklum. Ein bezaklum. It's nothing. Ve'ein shum seichel ba'olam lahachshiv COVID. What's the seichel? What seichel is there? Except again, how you could use it to help people, but to enjoy COVID, what seichel is there in the world to enjoy such a thing? V'nitan lihivakach ba'afsius inyan COVID. And he says I could prove the emptiness of COVID in a very simple way. this is going to hurt. He says it very clearly. People enjoy if they're honest for something, even though they know it's not true. Even if they know like, that you got the wrong person. Even if they know that, even if you know yourself that you're not that person, that you're not the kind of person that they're describing. They're saying at the dinner, they're talking about this, what changed the whole Klal Yisrael. And what this person did, and what the world would be like, it'd be back to Toyu Vavoyu, if not for this person, and so on and so forth. And you're sitting there, you know, this is mamish, this is ridiculous. It's totally ridiculous. It's not true. Not that it's exaggerated. No, you're exaggerating. So the person saying it's not true at all, you just stamashaita? No. You could say a little bit, but not so much. You yourself know it's sheker. It's sheker. It's not even true. V'mishabchem oyson be'ezer dover v'yodim ba'atzim be'birish is a sheker gomer. And if you're being praised for something or you're being honored for something and you yourself know that it's sheker gomer. It might not be, but very often it is. It's sheker gomer. Nikomakom nenim hemikach. You still enjoy it. Shahalo oyches. Can you know why you enjoy it? Because he thinks it's true. That's the main thing. He thinks that I'm that kind of person. And all the compliments that I'm getting, even though I know by myself that it's not true. But what's the difference if it's true or it's not true? He thinks that it's true. She thinks that it's true. That makes me feel good. Is there any bigger narishkeit than that? It's not even true. If it would be true, it's still narishkeit to enjoy and to care about that. But even if it's not true, you still enjoy it. What is it? It's a dvashtus, it's narishkeit. What am I mekane that they're honoring a person? What is covered bechlal that one should be envious of it? One more paragraph. Gam be'etzem ha'ashirus. Again, the seichel pashut. Seichel pashut. Gam be'etzem ha'ashirus. So let's say we're talking about somebody's wealth. There's a person that's wealthy, you've been working hard, it never was easy, and you never got that money. You think, I'm much smarter than that person, I'm much nicer than that person works much less and made all that money, it's not right. That happens, such a thing. So there's kinna. Gam etzem ashiri sheyesh lo ma yesh lo kanem bezeh. V'av shebe'em ez yoch lo tzeis ez etorol ez dvar toim ashiris. Again, wealth can be used in a good way. That's true. Again, to help people, to do things, it can be used in a good way. Now, if one's intention is purely for the benefit that comes from wealth, then you could be of benefit to people in other ways. I remember I had a conversation a few years ago with a person who had a lot of money and was doing a lot of nice things, helping a lot of people. And he took a big clap, and he lost his money. So I was talking to him about this. He was very, very upset. He said, what's killing me is that I can't do it for the yeshivas. I can't do it. I said, that's terrible. And Hashem's book should give you back the kefal keflaim. But in the meantime, if Hashem is saying to you, right now, you can't use money as a way to help people, then let's talk about other kaiches that you have, and how could you use other things that you have to help people. So when you had money, the money was a way to help. Now you don't have money, so you could do other things. So you wanted it should be davka that way, that's ready for you. That means that's for you then. It has to davka be with money. There are other ways to help people. Some of the most productive people on earth have no money. It's not davka with money. Until now you were able to do that with money. Now Hashem Yisbarach took the money away from you. He's telling you, I want you to serve me in a different way. So until now, you were able to give. Because I hear this all the time, because of what's happened the last few years. So it's killing me that they come and I can't do what I used to do. And I know they're good people. He said, it's true. But there are other things that you could do. So think about it. Stop wasting your time with that, because you don't have the money anymore. So you could tell the person, I don't have any more. I can't give you. Instead of giving you $100, I can give you $5. But what else can you do to benefit people? You could still be a Baal Tzedakah. But until now, the tzedakah was in the form of money, and now the tzedakah is with time or with other, whatever it is. There are many other ways of helping people. Ki mitfila tarvi yaitse gamkin tolis rabach go. To daven for a friend. To pour your heart out for another Jew. It's a very, very big thing. No one has to be stingy when it comes to tefillahs. We could daven all we like. We could open up and say tilim all we like for another person. You don't have to have any money for that. Everybody could afford a tilim. And if you can't, you go to shul and you open it to tilim and shul. Everybody could say tilim. Everybody could daven. That's not shiras, to have a tilim, to be able to say for another Jew tilim. It's an oishav. V'chein mi'asmod b'limud yoytze gamkin toelos. How about helping other Jews by hasmad and learning? You remember when the Muhammad, the last Muhammad was in Eretz Yisrael, it was a beautiful thing. It came out ben hazmanim, and there were certain Rosh Hashivas that they asked the boys, we're not going out with the army, we're not fighting in the war, but let's give, instead of going on a vacation, let's take another few days and sit and let's learn for the soldiers, and let's give a schus. There should be a schus for the soldiers. It's a gewaltige thing. So what are you telling the boys? You're telling the boys, Alright, you're not right now in a position to go out with a rifle and to go to the front. But does that mean that you can't give? Does that mean you can't save Jews? Does that mean you can't fight for Am Yisrael? Let's stay in the yeshiva instead of going on your Ben Hazmanim galactical trip someplace. Let's stay in the Bis Medrash for another 3 days. And every minute we're gonna learn, it should be a schus for the soldiers. Let's learn. That's not an oisha. For that you don't have to have money. For that you have to give up your vacation for 3 days and stay in the Bis Medrash. And I believe Ben Munah Shlema that made a huge difference. The boys that did that made a huge difference. It made a difference for the soldiers and made a difference for themselves. V'im yesh lo l'moshel teva ha'asmoda ha'izagam ken dovish ha'mevi to'elis. If a person has a teva to be a masmid, to sit them, to put in a lot of time of learning, you shouldn't think that how come you're not giving money. You're giving yourself over to Klal Yisrael. And you should think about that every moment that I'm learning should be a schus for Yidden. So why should I be jealous? Because that guy is rich in money. I am rich in something else. What am I rich in? I'm rich in Tehillim. I'm rich in Hasmada, in learning. That's my thing. That's his thing. What do I have with his thing? Just like the Beis HaLevi, just another minute, that's the Beis HaLevi told that rich guy that was staying up the whole night in Kippur, he was staying up the whole night, he wanted to say Tehillim or something the whole night, and the Beis HaLevi told him he should go to sleep. So he didn't understand. He said, it was after davening. Basically, he said, go to sleep. So he said, why? The rich guy said, why? I want to say. So the basically he said, the problem's like this. If you're going to try to act like a tzaddik, to be the tzaddik, then the problem might be that I might want to end up trying to be like a rich person and go to business. You have to know, you're a rich guy, just go to sleep. Let me stay up and say tilim. That's what he said. I'll say tilim, you go to sleep. I mean, obviously he wasn't discouraging some tilim, but he saw in this person a certain inyan that he wasn't in the world that Hashem put him in. And even in Ruchnias, there could be mistakes like that. Even in Ruchnias. I'm not jealous. That guy's able to take $1 million to build a yeshiva. That's what Hashem gave him. That's his oisha. I have a different oisha. I could sit in this yeshiva and build up this yeshiva. That's my oisha. And I'll etzim hashiruso. But if you're jealous of that person, it means that that person is taking something that you think is yours. That's my way of Aisha. He took my type of wealth. That really could be mine, that money. That's Shtus and Havel. It's absolute silliness in Irishkeit. Right, Mitzvah, next Monday night, we'll continue with a little bit more, just a little bit with the seichel and the poshut of fighting against kinnah, and then he's going to give an example of how to uproot kinnah with the avoida of becoming people of the neshama. We'll continue mitzvah next time.